Welcome to episode 54 of Sound Out Wave, the first podcast to reach planet Earth from Cybertron. I'm Nell, and I am great at Transformers.
And I'm Greg, and I suck at Transformers.
And this week, we discuss Till All Are One. All four issues, dogs.
So this is we're doing it a little bit different. We're doing a full, like, separate mini series, right?
Right. We're doing an entire mini series. Till All Are One has more issues coming out.
Okay.
But as far as I know, they are not out yet. If they are, I've missed it. But yes, we are doing 1 through 4, which are their own set.
Rad.
And we're going to
cool.
be covering all of them.
Good, because we got, like, a bunch of material here.
We do. And, like, before we even jump in, man, this is a good mini series. Like,
it is.
These are good books.
Like, I was very happy. I mean, we'll get into it as we get to it. But, like, it very much feels like early Robots in Disguise with all the, like, discussion of political morality and civil rights. And
it's a return to some really great things that were the focus of Robots in Disguise.
Yeah, it's a tense political thriller.
And for what it's worth, the creative team on this, I love all these girls, and I'm very excited because we had Erica Scott writing it. I'm going to butcher these next names, and I apologize. Got Sarah Petre Desrochers doing the artwork. I'm sure I butchered that. I'm sorry, Sarah. And in the first two, we have Priscilla Tramontano doing the artwork, or the coloring. And then in the last two, we have Joanna LaFuente doing colors. And yeah, they're all just really good, really talented ladies.
These are, like, great looking books.
These books are really killer, so I'm very excited to talk about all of them in one go.
So let's dig into it. On the cover here, we have a lot of very sharp looking bots.
Yeah, they all look really great. And this is Sarah did the line art for the books, and she did the painted covers that we have here.
That's rad. I will say, Alita One gets kind of like larger billing on this than maybe she needs.
No way, dude. She's the first.
Right.
She deserves it. She wants to be that big on the cover. She is allowed.
That one line of dialogue she has really resonates.
You just need to know that she's there.
That's true.
Her very presence requires this big.
That's a good point. She does exert quite a bit on this book. So let's get into it. We're in Iacon. We've been here before.
Yeah. We're right here in Metroplex. Lovely, shining, and something bad's happening. We have somebody very hurt, and, like, ooh, we can, like, see his brain module, and he's bleeding, and it's sad.
And he is just, like, sputtering, and then collapses. And dies. And we can see he's a Decepticon.
Yes.
And his badge is upside down for some reason.
Now, sometimes this happens, depending on where their symbol sits when they're in alt mode versus when they're a robot. So it looks like he turns into a wheeled vehicle. So yeah, it looks like that's on, like, the top of his car. The Seekers, normally when they are in robot mode, their Decepticon symbols are upside down on their wings. Because they look, quote unquote, right side up when they are jets.
Interesting.
Yeah, fun fact for you.
And then as this bot dies, it hits 7 o'clock and, like, everything happens at once.
Yes, we see also, somebody in their alt mode is flying above him. And we're going to find out who in just a moment. So yes, then we have this really gorgeous double page of everything happening as 7 o'clock hits, like you said. And it's just kind of giving us a recap of all of these bots. That this is kind of the continuation of where the Windblade titles left
right
off. This is their spiritual successor.
Right, we remember the big plot to get all of the wayward titans back.
And
all these disparate planets are now part of the big council, and
right, so we have all of our, like, colony worlds and colony bots being the focus of these stories, or they play bigger roles in here. So we can also, just based on kind of the dialogue here, we know that this is happening around, this is of course after Combiner Wars, and around the time of All Hail Optimus, it's around there. So the books that we were just reading.
We got two Yukarians up here sort of gossiping, talking about how much Cybertron sucks.
Right, like, it's Erazer and Tigertron, and of course she's like, I don't know. this place sucks because it's really crowded. He's like, I know, but we just got to do it. Eucharis can't stay on its own forever. We see Windblade talking to Metroplex, who seems to be doing much better. Yay. She looks very at ease. And you're like, oh, that's nice. Windblade doesn't look stressed out. That's fantastic.
that's the first time in a long time. Yeah. Since basically showing up.
Since the moment she's arrived in these books. Well, and she is remarking to Metroplex that Navitas is doing better, and he is the Titan for Velocitron. Yeah. So she was probably finally like, listen, a-holes, the dude running all of this needs your help.
Give him some Gatorade.
God, you guys. What's your deal? So he's doing better.
We have Ironhide here, and he's discussing things with some Duosians. Was that their name?
I think they're...
Divisions?
I would say Divisions, because their
Duosian
planet is...
Duosian is a Pokemon.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I mixed that up, sorry.
But you can tell they're Divisions, because they're just little teensies. Oh my goodness, they're so cute.
They're finishing each other's sentences.
It's so cute. So yeah, he's kind of talking to them, and his dialogue, and we very quickly get the full breadth of what Ironhide is doing, but he's being called away to meet the council by whoever, this person working with him, who's named Quick Lightning.
Cool. Discussing some kind of business deal here.
Yes.
I don't think this is a spoiler. I was able to tell this was Chromia.
Like, yes, absolutely. Yeah. It's Chromia taking off her helmet.
Which is rad.
We sometimes see bots doing this. We know Megatron takes off, like, that's not just his head. Like, that's a...
Right.
They're different parts, and, like, he can take off the helmet part. So we see Chromia here taking off the helmety part of her head, too. And we can see writing on, like, her...
Yeah, the words exhaust and technimus are sort of like scrawled on the back of her head.
Right. It's definitely like sketched on there.
At first, I thought was just a joke played by Windblade. Like, I'll just write on the back of her head and she'll never know.
She's not even going to see it while they're
sleeping.
It'll
be there for millions of years.
She'll see it one day and be like, Windblade! When did you do this? Windblade will be like, I don't even remember.
Like, around when we got to Cybertron.
Way before we got married. Hint, hint. So, we see her taking off her helmet. So, you're like, okay, we should see more bots taking off their helmets.
Yeah, I like it.
And then we see, the person who was flying above the Decepticon, who sadly just died, was Obsidian, who, of course, reports to Elita One. And they're kind of speaking in a vague manner that we know
cryptic.
Then as the reader, we are missing some information here. He's letting her know that he's confirmed something himself, and she's saying, okay, do something about it. But she says, as you said, cryptic things like the balance must be maintained until our upgrades are completed. But this has gone far enough. So you're like, what's Carcer up to?
What are they upgrading?
Yeah. What's going on with them? And then we can see, this is Blastoff, and we'll be seeing more of him very soon. Blastoff is spray painting Swindle Lives onto the wall, which we will remember.
Right. I saw that. I was like, oh, yeah, that was a plot point.
Yeah. Swindle got shot a long time ago. Not super long ago, but like at the beginning of Combiner Wars.
Right.
Because,
he got in with Starscream.
Exactly. And so he was shot and presumed dead. So now we have Blastoff here, who, for people who know the Combaticons, are like, right, Blastoff and Swindle are like part of the
old
same group.
Chums.
Yeah, they know each other. Yes, that makes a little, there's another plot point there. And then we can see, hey, it's the Tankors. And they seem to be rolling out. They are... with IH Cybertronian Securities.
Yeah. Wonder what that is.
I'm like, what's this?
We have the Velocitronians down here.
Yeah, I love this panel because we get a better look at Knockout's Conjunct Sandora here, who is totally breakdown from Transformers Prime, but of course we can't call him that in this comic. So he's just Knockout's beautiful husband. He looks great.
He looks great.
Yeah, they both look real good. Everybody looks real good. I cannot stress enough. This artwork is gorgeous through all of these books. But their Knockout's just kind of saying Moonracer is his assistant. And So and we're learning we're not getting this entire discussion either, but it sounds like right. just a discussion husbands are having before one of them is going off to the council.
And then we have Starscream and Bumblebee, who is probably still a hallucination.
Right. We don't know exactly still what's going on with the ghost of Bumblebee, who's Starscream's only other friend? Not really, besides Wheeljack.
But they seem to be discussing Swindle, and
yes,
it seems like Starscream is not... Bumblebee is chastising Starscream here for hunting down a corpse.
Right.
Yeah.
And Bumblebee's even kind of saying, like, you shot him yourself. Like, you, why are you still obsessing over what happened to Swindle? You should know that he's dead. And he does say, are you really willing to risk this much to cause this much suffering just to prove someone's already dead? And I'm like, well, B, if you know Starscream, you know that the answer is yes, absolutely. He's willing to do that.
So here's all the pieces that you're going to need going forward. Here's our setup. Yes. I hope you took notes.
I did.
Yeah, as did I. and so we cut to the council chambers here.
And we have Ironhide is arriving.
Yeah, Ironhide seems to have been summoned by Obsidian. Is that his name?
Yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, God, Obsidian, you're... all the cursor bots are just so cool looking.
Yeah.
Of course, it's a death metal ship.
And Obsidian is like, hey, I brought Ironhide. And Starscream is like, Ironhide is a Cybertronian.
Right.
Why don't you let me handle my business?
And Obsidian is like, okay, but no, for real. You'll know why we need the whole committee on this.
I'm going somewhere with this.
I got it.
He's saying, hey, Ironhide, tell us what's up. And Ironhide is like, hey, I'm Ironhide. I like long walks on the beach. Mm-hmm. I run a security firm called IH Cybertronian Securities, and we rent out thugs. And the Yukarians are like, you rent out thugs? And he's like, that's not what I said.
He literally just did say it. But I did have kind of a moment here as I was reading this panel in particular where it... like, made me kind of reflect a moment as Ironhide saying, like, he... because the way he words it, he's saying he's running an independent security firm. And, yeah, essentially saying that, like, they are providing security for people who need it, regardless of wartime affiliation or planet of origin. And it's such... Ironhide is just so, like, calm and thoughtful. Like,
he's very formal.
Yeah, which is huge. Like, my note is just, like... my vicious pup, he's finally kind of matured. He's calmed down.
He's growing up.
I cannot stress this enough. If, like, really, just in stories, you know, in the ongoing stories before the schism, before the chaos and everything happened, from there to everything prior, he was, yeah, Ironhide was like, punch first, ask questions later. Just, he's a hothead. And so
he
it just...
a big, bad, brutal boy.
Yeah. And so now, of course, we've had years of this Ironhide that I don't even, like, question it. And I didn't question it after, you know, when he was first kind of turning over this new leaf. But I just really, I don't know. I just had a moment where I was like, Ironhide, I'm proud of you. This is not a place I think I'd ever imagined Ironhide, like, reading this kind of attitude from Ironhide. So I just think it's very interesting. So anyway.
I guess this is growing up.
I guess so. So yeah, so he does. He runs his security company. And yeah, they're all like, wait a minute. What? This doesn't...
Right. They're like, why do people need a security company? And he's like, because Starscream has secret police and that's not good.
Yeah. People don't trust the authorities. So he's
and
giving them another option.
And Starscream is like, people love my secret police.
Everybody, I just got 10 more letters today about how much people love it.
And Obsidian is like, well, they're probably killing a lot of people in the street, so what's up with that?
Wait. Yeah, he's saying that they have found 5 Decepticons, they've been beaten up, and the latest one that they found straight up died.
Yeah, and...
because he was beaten so badly.
The Velocitronian delegation says, well, why don't we... These are Decepticons, right? Aren't those guys a bunch of, like, dumb assholes who get killed anyway? And... Obsidian is like, well, there's Nemosurgeon marks on this guy.
Which, this next panel, I made the same face as everyone in this panel when you read it. You're like, like a gasp. Oh my God.
It's a very loaded thing in this series.
Yes. We know anemia surgery. We've seen the effects. And so, of course, now that everybody's just kind of wondering, were they attacked for their memories? Were people looking for information? Because, of course, it's a very alarming thing.
Right. Pneumosurgery is a big deal. We've even seen... your thoughts stolen is not good.
Of course. And, you know, even, you know, you think about the way, like, Megatron responds to it. It's a very intense thing. It's,
And Starscream is like, yeah, okay, but that's still a Cybertronian matter. And Obsidian says, well, no, because the last one that was killed was giving parts to Carcer. So now it's our problem.
Yes.
Which I don't know if I buy necessarily, but...
But I could see where he was making that connection. If he's like... Especially when they don't know what the Nemo surgery is searching for.
Right.
You know, so if he's like, well, this guy was working for Carcer, and now he was... He had his... thoughts, you know, infiltrated, and now he's dead. Could be something. I could see him being concerned about that.
Sure. And everyone's like, yeah, so why are you just letting people get their brains sliced up? And Obsidian continues and says, since Prime annexed Earth and Galvatron instigated all these things, which gives us a time frame that all of this occurs within.
Yes. We know the Decepticons are riled up.
Yep. Everybody's mad. And the Decepticons are basically getting killed.
Right. The Badgles have become increasingly more aggressive.
And he brings up, or Windblade brings up Swindle, that a lot of this is because people are trying, are basically making Swindle into a sort of political figure here.
Right. It's more of that graffiti, the Swindle lives being written. And so there, Obsidian is saying that there's this conspiracy theory going around that Swindle wasn't killed and that he's still somewhere, which would be, and it has something important or knows something big.
Right. And then Obsidian kind of hits him with the lock here, which is either, which is that none of these deaths have been reported. So either people don't trust the Badgeless or the Badgeless are the ones doing it.
Yep. He's got you there, Starscream. And so he wants to bring on, Obsidian wants to bring on Ironhide as a...
Special prosecutor.
Yeah. As a means of them having kind of a link to, you know, someone with some authority here that they can go to directly and can report to them.
Right. And Starscream is immediately like, let me think about that.
I'll give you an answer later.
Yeah, they sort of challenge each other there. And then we go to the Combaticons.
I am so thrilled. I think I've mentioned before during the Combiner Wars, I don't know, maybe I didn't mention it, but the Combaticons are my favorite Combiner team.
So
I was very excited that Talal Erwan focused on them. I do want to point out on this first panel where we have Onslaught kind of sitting here, he's looking out the window. The window's super dirty, and there's like a smudged handprint on it. He's drawn like a bullseye pointing at
Starscream's tower.
It's such a good detail.
It's a very cute detail. I like that.
I love it. And I don't know if that was something...
Right. I feel like that would be a coloring trick or something.
Right. Like, I don't know if Priscilla came up with it when she was doing the colors, but I love it. It's a fantastic detail.
It's exactly the kind of thing we catch on this show.
Yeah. And we have... Somebody's calling for Onslaught, and he finally turns. And it's the other Combaticons are here, minus Swindle, of course. And it's Brawl being like, we're going to go. Blast off, got us a contact. They're going to be doing some work with this Velocitronian stuff. So essentially, they're just like, oh, hey, we're going to do this job and make some money.
And they seem to be in dire straits and needing the money.
Yes. And most importantly on this panel, Vortex is balancing a can on his face. And I'm so excited. And this made me think of something else that I really want to talk about, but I think we can save it till the end of all of this. But
so that can balancing on the face is going to pay off, is what you're saying?
Yes, it will, because it like set off a series of thoughts in my head that I was like, yeah, that's something I really want to discuss. So bless this panel. Bless you, Sarah, for putting a can on Vortex's face. I love it. It's such a goofy little thing. Why is he doing it besides to be adorable? But yeah, Onslaught. Yeah, why not? Onslaught isn't too keen on this job that the others want to do.
Yeah, you people with your 9-to-5, your house and paycheck hobos.
And of course, Brawl's like, what? Why is he so upset? Like, he didn't even like Swindle. So Brawl's thinking he's upset because Swindle's not here, and he's like, he didn't like Swindle.
Yeah, they were never friends.
Right. So why does he care?
And Blastoff is like, let me handle it. And so he goes over there, and we see that Onslaught, not Overlord, good Lord, is reading a data pad, and the data pad says Swindle is alive. Find him and find proof that will end Starscream. Vengeance can be yours. I will help more when I can. Peace through tyranny. OC 357.
Oh, is it OC? I was reading it as DC.
They say in regular text at one point, but it might be... Oh, it is DC. You're right. Yep.
Yes. But yeah. So yeah, he's looking at it on his data pad, and Blastoff kind of chastises him for looking at it again. He's kind of like, it's not going to change. It's still there. It's still the same message. So we know that Blastoff knows about this message that he's received. God, I love these books. I'm like, look at this view of the Cometicons. I'm in love with this. So now we just have kind of a moment here that's just Blastoff and Onslaught talking about the way things used to be. And Blastoff's like, yeah, we used to be trying not to get killed by Autobots. Like, that's the way things used to be.
And Onslaught is like, yeah, but that was worth caring about. And it reminds me of this scene in the Venture Brothers where there's this pirate crew that's like, that they end up getting jobs working for one of the main characters. And they say, like, man, I miss when we were a pirate crew. And he's like, guys, I had us stranded in the Sargasso for like 7 years. And they're like, yeah, but we were free.
Right. It's just that mentality. It's like, yeah, but... And then you're totally right. That's where Onslaught is right now. He's like, yeah, but I liked being a pirate. He doesn't want to work for money. But he does bring up the Badgeless are looking for something in the ghetto.
Right.
And I do want to point out, look at this expression on Onslaught of all people. How fantastic. I love it. We're getting emotions from the Combaticons. This is great.
this is everything you've wanted.
I'm living for this. I love it. But of course, Blastoff is saying, well, they're looking for Swindle.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, we've been riling them up with, we know we saw Blastoff right in the graffiti.
Right. Swindle is key to this, is what they're saying.
Yes.
And Onslaught's saying, like, I've looked everywhere. I can't find him. And Blastoff saying, well, why are we looking for him?
Right. Like, and Onslaught for a second, it's like, we are supposed to be, like, you are supposed to be loyal to this. Like, this is supposed to be like a team unit. And Blastoff's like, yeah, it is. And we know we want to revive the cause, and we want to get rid of Starscream. Starscream has to pay for what he did. But whoever this source is, whoever this person is...
They're just riling you up, buddy.
Right. They're not doing anything besides making you be like this. And Onslaught, of course... And you... It's one of those things where you can just kind of figure Onslaught is hearing things he doesn't want to hear, so he's just kind of like...
I'm storming off.
Going back. I'm going to go keep looking.
But then a new message comes in on the data pad.
Mm-hmm. And this one says, stronger action needed, greater risk required. Sent you a gift in the dumpster behind McAdams. If you can't find trouble, make it. Again, peace through tyranny, DC 357.
Blastoff is like, hey, guys, I need to go check out a thing that you don't need to worry about. I'm like, whatever. We don't like you.
And it doesn't matter because don't worry. Now Vortex has a can on top of his head and either Brawl's trying to take it or he's setting it on there and just bless.
They may beautiful. Just be stacking things on Vortex.
They're really bored. Somebody should take them to the park.
And so Blastoff goes behind this dumpster and there is Badgeless armor.
Ooh. And he finds out... Oh, there's a holo-compatible camera on it that explains why they can all look the same and why they can sound the same.
Yeah.
Which does help, because I know it was... I don't know if we ever mentioned it on the show, but you do have to kind of wonder, like, well, yeah, but some people have very defining...
Sure.
...features as... in their robot modes.
And on the next page, we even see him, like, suiting up, and it looks like his standard form is just getting sort of papered over with a hologram.
Right. Some just kind of cookie cutter.
Right. Generic
robot.
Form.
Yeah.
And so we go to Ironhide and Windblade here.
Right. He's leaving the council meeting, and she's apologizing. I do think it's very sweet. This panel of Windblade and Ironhide, the second one on the page, it goes hand in hand with what I was saying earlier about Ironhide. This panel kind of, like, throws me for a second, because Windblade is saying she's apologizing, and she's saying she would never want to put Ironhide in danger, which is frankly hilarious, because Ironhide used to live to be like, I'm going in there guns blazing. I'm going to punch everybody in the face. So it's very sweet and very funny for Windblade to be like, oh, Ironhide, you didn't ask for any of this. I'm sorry.
he's deep down, he's loving it.
Yeah, and he does even say he doesn't mind danger. And he's here. He wants to help her keep Starscream in line.
Right. And he gets a notification on his phone. And he's saying, oh, looks like there's something at McAdams I got to take care of. Because obviously McAdams would be like the first person to sign up for security. It makes sense.
I love that you just called, like, McAdam as if he's, like, instead of Blur.
Oh, well, he says an alert from McAdams.
Right, but that's the name of the oil house. Sorry, that's cute. It never occurred to me. I'm just like, oh, right, no, McAdams is just the place. Depending on, and I don't know how the IDW, I assume it would be the same thing. McAdam was a person.
Oh,
but
really?
Now
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I don't have a full history, like, in my brain on McAdam's old oil house, but I remember in one of the many Transformers books I have, I remember reading about McAdam's old oil house. And yes, it was
neat.
Run by somebody named McAdams, or McAdam, and now Blur owns it, at least here, which we all know.
There you go. And he says, hey, you guys want to get a drink? And they're like, we're really busy with the things we're good at, which is paperwork and fighting. And he's like, okay, fine.
All right.
And again, we get that panel of Blastoff suiting up in the badgeless armor.
Yes.
But we see Ironhide at the bar here, and Blur is saying, like, well, this guy over here is being dumb and drunk.
Right. He gets the moniker Drunkatron, which I love. And he's trying to get into it with, hey, we know these ladies. We've seen them before. They're from Carcer.
Yeah. He calls them Fambots and Camyans.
And it's Lancer and Greenlight, and they were the ones who were getting handsy when they were when the space bridge opened, and they were like, well, you wouldn't get your hands off me during roll call, and now we have to work out here. So there they are, now they're at the bar, still getting handsy.
They're very cuddly. Yeah,
it's cute.
And they're like, hey, you should get the hell out of here because we don't like you.
Definitely.
And he's like, why don't you go back to your own planets? Trump 2016. And Ironhide is like, okay, buddy, you need to leave because you suck. And we keep getting the intercuts of in these panels, we get intercuts of Blastoff in the armor, and he knocks out one of the other badgeless and just kind of takes his place.
Right. Just kind of slips in. So, there you go. Now we know he is present here.
Yeah.
And of course they can't tell because everybody looks the same and sounds the same. And so, yes, Ironhide is trying to take Drunkatron outside with him. And Blur's like, thank goodness, finally. He's pouring another lovely drink.
Yeah, it looks great.
So good. And so, yes, then we have Ironhide being just a sweetheart, like, come on, buddy, let's take it outside.
I will ask, do we have any guesses as to who this bot down in the corner is?
Oh,
because there's a bot visibly, like, leaning on the bar, like,
right,
face
kind of like,
down.
Right. Like, he doesn't look like he's fully, like nose against the bar, but at least leaning on his hand.
He's
maybe.
Had a tough day.
Yeah, like his head is definitely bowed. I don't know. He has similar stacks on the side of his head to like Ultra Magnus and Nightbeat. So somebody else who has that same kind of helmet.
I have no idea who that would be off the top of my head. But
I don't know, but I hope his day gets better.
Yeah, I hope things get better for you, buddy. But it's not going to get better for anybody else here.
No.
Ironhide takes this guy outside, and the Badgeless is like, hey, what's going on? Yeah, and Ironhide's like, hey, let me do my job. And
right.
This guy is like, I hate cops. The cop is like, okay, well, you better get this guy out of here. And the guy is like, I'm going to punch a cop.
And he shouts, Swindle lives! And Colcott's the Badgeless, right? And then the helmet. So, of course, he's immediately taken down by the Badgeless.
Yeah, slammed down. These two Badgeless, one of which is presumably...
Blastoff.
Yeah.
So, and it's not...
It's not clear, but the one who didn't get punched is calling for backup, and I have to feel like Blastoff would not do that, right?
That would be my thought, but now I'm trying to think with what we know. I'm like, wait, but would he?
Right.
I don't know. I'm not sure. Maybe in the next few pages we'll be like, that one caused Blastoff.
And so they get down here, and they're like, all right, let's talk about Swindle, buddy. Let's go. And this guy's like, wait, no, I was just being a dick. I don't know anything about Swindle. And they're like, yeah, we're going to just dig into your brain anyway.
Which, of course,
danger.
And so, of course, Ironhide, annoyed.
He's like, hey, I have this under control. And this guy's like, okay, yeah, I don't care because we got this guy now. And this guy tries to run, which is not smart.
No, he struggles free, starts running. And of course, even Ironhide is like, oh my god, what the hell is wrong with you? Don't run. And he goes down an alley, and then he's chased, of course, by one of the Badgeless. The other Badgeless.
Right.
Punches Ironhide in the face.
And just like, yeah, blasts him in the nose. And he runs after him. Ironhide is saying like, hey, Windblade, you got to get down here right now. And we turn the corner and Drunkatron has been shot dead.
Shot dead. It's gruesome. He's got like 3 shots.
Yeah, one in the head, 2 in the chest.
In his back even.
Yeah.
Extra, extra bad. So of course, yes, Ironhide has just turned the corner to see this and they're telling him this is a crime scene now. And Ironhide immediately knows what all of this means. Like, everybody who's aware of the situation and the tensions knows that we are very close to all of this just collapsing into some form of battle, some form of war, be it riots again or more fighting. From everything we've seen, Cybertron has been having a rough time of kind of making and keeping the peace. And so here's just another more fuel to add. The fact that the Badgeless have now shot this guy.
So it's tough. I'm not going to say that, like, the issue of police brutality shouldn't be addressed in fiction. I'm not even going to say that, like, Transformers is a bad venue for it. It's just that it's the sort of thing that needs to be handled with a very light touch, especially because you're going to be making, like, race is a very big part of that issue.
Right.
And it's tough to do that with cartoon robots. So I was very curious just to see how all of this would pan out.
Sure. And I totally, because obviously, yes, there are tones of, like, police brutality here and the reality
that's
of
what
it.
This is about. Yeah,
right. Like, very obviously this is, it's being reflected here, and that's what we're seeing, which we've seen it come up in, at least
yes,
it was touched
absolutely.
On very briefly in Ongoing when we saw Jazz blocking a police officer from, I think it was just like a kid who was very clearly should not have anything pointed at him unless it's an ice cream cone. Here you go. You're a kid.
Let's point ice cream
cones. I'm going to point an ice cream cone at you in a means of saying, here's ice cream. You should have it. So anyway, yes. Obviously, yeah.
Right.
Touchy.
Yep. A crowd quickly starts forming.
Right. Because, of course, there's been gunshots and shouting and...
And everybody
Badgeless.
Just sees that the Badgeless shot a guy.
Right. Someone is dead. The Badgeless has shot him.
Their guns are smoking.
Yes.
They pretty quickly call this murder. And Ironhide is saying, like, hey, chill. We don't know what happened.
Right. He's still trying to keep the peace here. Which, again, I'm just... Remarkable.
This is not the Ironhide you once knew.
It isn't. The Ironhide... Oh, geez. I could tell you stories. But... Another time. So we do see, though, one little Badgeless is disappearing around the back of the alley. I wonder which one that is.
Probably nobody important.
Probably just some guy.
And a shot fires out from one of the badgeless, and they're basically firing on the crowd, everybody says.
Right. Yes.
And Ironhide, everybody runs screaming, saying they're killing us. Ironhide is saying, like, why would you do that, you stupid moron? Windblade is saying, like, hey, what's going on? And he's like, I'm trying to stop this guy from killing everybody. And Windblade says, like, well, it doesn't seem to be going well.
Right. He's saying he's trying to stop a war from starting. And, yes. And that's not... It's... Yeah. This isn't such a great situation here. She's showed up with Obsidian and with Starscream, who, of course, looks very just pleased with how things are being handled here. So, of course, then Ironhide's kind of telling Windblade what happened. And basically, the main points here to key in on are the fact that he said Swindle's name. And that was when the badgeless responded. And he was...
They mentioned looking at his memories.
Right. So there you go. Now we have a very direct, obvious link.
And Windblade immediately is like, hey, I'm going to talk to Starscream just a moment. I will be right back.
Just one hot sec.
Hey, Starscream, what the fuck?
Yeah. What is this? Because, of course, she knows. She knows who Swindle is. She's like, what is this? What are you doing?
And Starscream immediately is like, oh, what makes you think this was me?
Yeah. What? I'm not attached to this. My secret police looking for Swindle, who was a bot who died while I was starting some shit up, doesn't mean anything.
And he's like, if anything, you people probably set this up.
Classic Starscream. But of course, Obsidian is like, listen, we gotta get the council involved in this. And Alita, I'm gonna tell her, that's for sure. So you
I'm telling Mom.
I'm gonna go, and you can't stop me. It's too late. I already counted to three. So he takes off.
Right. And Windblade immediately is like, okay, for real, though. Like, what could possibly be so important that you are going out and lobotomizing people for, like, basically no reason?
Right, to find a corpse. Because everybody's like, Swindle died. He got killed.
And Starscream said, well, Swindle had secrets. And they are secrets that can end me. So that is why I'm doing this.
Right.
Except he says that in a much more svelte kind of way.
And of course, so then he grabs her and he's telling her all this and then he turns it back on her. He's like, listen, Swindle has secrets that could really hurt me and I have secrets that could really hurt you. So if I start going down, I'm going to take you with me. Because of course he reminds her, and it's what we all know from the first set of Windblade books, the whole explosion that Chromia was responsible. Yes.
Right. And he phrases it as when the Kamians arrived, they planned a coup, killed three civilians, and covered it up. And Windblade is like, wow. And
he's like, that wasn't. And he's like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, don't let me phrase it that way. How about? And she's like, all right, fine. And so there's the only married news team in the Tri-Planet area.
They show up, and because of course they want the deets.
Yeah, gotta get them hot deets.
They're trying to get past the badgeless, and of course it's Cute Circuit, because he's got his microphone out. And he's Starscream, he wants a statement. Does he want does he have anything to comment?
Starscream, do you have any hot takes on this?
Starscream, what's the hot goss?
Starscream, load us up with that goss.
Starscream does. He walks over.
Yeah, he's saying like, oh, we don't know the facts and blah, blah, blah. And Circuit's like, oh, so you haven't seen the footage? And Starscream's like, what footage? And Circuit's like, this footage. And it's this bot getting shot in the back by Starscream's secret police. And Starscream is like, you can't show that. And Circuit's like, it's already out, dog.
And it's the last panel, and God, he looks so cute.
He's adorable.
Adorable. I can see why Longtooth was first taken with him. Like,
he's smitten.
That bot's cute. I bet we could be a married news team together.
Hey, do you like journalism?
I see you have a microphone in your thumb. Have you ever thought of being a reporter?
Check this out. I'm recording you right now.
And he winks with his lens eye, like...
And Circuit immediately was like, that is so hot.
I found the one. the person to finally be a married news team.
we get such brief glimpses of them, yet we craft such an elaborate world.
Listen, there are so many bots now that you and I could create their spotlights.
Exactly, you're right.
Give us Spotlight Circuit. Give us Spotlight Longtooth. What was our other spotlight last week?
I forget. Oh my God.
I have it written down. I'm going to check it right now.
Do it.
It was Spotlight Skybite.
Spotlight Skybite. Oh man, I'd pay a hot dollar for that one shot.
I'm just saying, if anybody from IDW is listening, we could just
give us like an anthology little series of like spotlight side characters. Just make it a one shot. We'll write like 3 pages for each bot.
Yeah.
We'll be very happy.
It'll be real good.
And let's roll right into 34. let's roll into number 2. These are such low numbers.
Such low numbers. 2? Yes.
Crazy.
Issue 2.
And we open up with the news report from that sweet teensy little boy.
He looks so pleasant sitting there at his desk.
He does.
He's very proper.
He looks like he would be voiced by Elijah Wood.
Aww.
And he's recapping us on everything here. We just had the Badgeless murder. We see in a cutaway, Blastoff is basically putting the armor back in this dumpster.
Putting it back in the trash.
And there's accusations of people like firing at onlookers.
Right. All of this now, these tensions just rising. And of course,
there's a riot.
What the media does, which is report on it. But also now people are going to hear it and they're going to, continue to push those tensions.
And he says there's arrests, looting, and protests of every kind. Right. We see the Badgeless beating up on bots here in the slums.
Which is, it's sad. You don't want to see any bots getting hurt. Especially when, again, God, everybody's so pretty in these bots.
They're very pretty bots.
So good. And and of course, we're in the ghetto here because we have Blastoff is returning to his pad
home
with his boys.
And he gets in and he's tiptoeing around and he just creaks too loud and Dad wakes up.
And Onslaught's just in the doorway, like taking up the entire doorway. He's like, "Where have you been? I've been up all night.
We were worried sick about you.
We were about to send out the search parties." Onslaught,
Blastoff,
get in here.
Blastoff, get in here right this instant. And everybody's like, "Oh, we thought maybe you were dead and we bet on it."
Yeah, Vortex and Brawl weren't that concerned. Vortex was like, "Oh, yeah, he's not dead. Give me your alcohol." And Brawl's like, "Oh, man." And he hands over his bottle because that was their bet. But look at this. Look at this little detail. Onslaught's got his hand on Blastoff's back, and that's sweet. He's ushering him back inside. Get in here.
Welcome home. Your
Don't
mother
ever scare
a roast.
Me like that again.
And of course, we get more of Vortex talking to Brawl. Yes, names. Good.
Yeah, it's just kind of, we get a little more, because clearly the story is kind of focusing on Onslaught because he's the one getting the messages and then Blastoff is the one who's trying to move on these things. So Vortex and Brawl are kind of, we need them. They're
players.
Our boys. But
yes,
they'll show up later.
Don't you worry.
Yeah. But they're just kind of like,
Like,
look, we're about to go out rioting. Like, people are fighting.
It's a
riot. It's going to be great.
And Blastoff is talking to Onslaught and he's saying like, "Hey, this is like our opportunity. People are really ready to rise up."
And right. Onslaught's he thinks saying, that they're going to finally go to Starscream. Like, this is going to have the crowds taking on Starscream.
Let's siege the castle. And Onslaught is like, "No." And he's like, "Why not? That's boring. You're being boring." And Onslaught is saying, like, "I'm being smart." Because he's saying the Decepticons are rioting, but all the other planets are just going to retain neutrality and they're just going to sit on the sidelines and we're going to look like a bunch of dumb idiots who will get what we deserve.
Which is thoughtful of him because
that's very smart.
True. Yes, that is what's going to happen. And of course, when you have people wanting to, when people are out there, and we know that they are, who want to spin things against the Decepticons and want to paint them put them under a negative light, by doing this, by going out there and adding to it, he's saying this is just going to give them, the fact that other colonies aren't going to stand up with them means that they can't, in the end, this is just going to be
a useless action.
Them.
Right.
Yes.
And Onslaught even goes so far as to postulate that Starscream probably set this up.
Right, and it's not going to help them find Swindle.
Right. And Blastoff says, it wasn't Starscream.
He's like, I maybe know something. He did not set this up. And immediately, Onslaught's like, wait, how do you know that?
Listen, that's Blastoff, give me that hot goss.
Get in this room right now. And he does, he like full on drags him into the next room. And the Vortex is like, okay, you guys talk. We're going to go out, kill some people. And he's like, no, stay. Do not leave this house.
Stay in your room. You're not allowed out tonight.
I better not hear that door open, you guys.
And then we go back to Obsidian here, who is out with one of the Eukaryans.
Airazor.
Yeah, Airazor. And Airazor's saying, like, hey, it sucks here, right?
Right? Like, their politics are, like, really bad, and people don't like other people, and there are too many people. Like, this place sucks, right?
And I love that Obsidian is like, yeah, that's why we didn't let anyone out of our ship, dummy.
And, right, he's like, that's, we're all still up on Carcer. Like, you guys don't have to be here.
Yeah,
you guys could have made better decisions.
And they say, oh, hey, check it out. There's riots. And we have a giant protest that's screaming for justice and down with the badgeless.
And we can see there's, yeah, it's Onslaught at the front.
Yeah.
Of yet another Decepticon Pride Parade.
And we're storming the castle.
Yeah. They're very proud. They parade a lot. And even Airazor's like, oh, yeah, it's too fucking late to go home now. Jeez. And they're like, all right, yep, we should probably do something about this. Because like it or not, our colonies are now involved in Cybertron. So This looks bad. And we should probably act on it.
And Starscream is looking out his mansion's window. And he's saying, ugh, this again.
Another mob. Please.
You guys gotta learn new tricks on the mob thing.
I'm getting bored, Decepticons.
And Bumblebee, who is again a hallucination, says, like, you're worried that they're being unoriginal? They're rioting,
that's
dog.
That's your concern here? And of course, sweet Bumblebee is like, you should be wondering why they are rioting, not what they're doing, but the reason behind it.
And Starscream is like, oh, sweet, stupid, dumb, sweet, idiot, dumb, sweet, idiot Bumblebee. We all know why they're rioting.
He knows exactly why. And there's this really great panel of Onslaught, and his eyes are just glowing. Yeah. And you're like, yeah, if this was a movie, that would be like a really, it would have really good music on that point.
And Bumblebee's giving him a couple I told you so's, and Starscream is like, yeah, no, I know, the delegates are going to show up too. And Windblade shows up, and he's like, check it out. And Windblade is like, check what out?
Yeah, he's like, oh, what up, I told you. And she's like, what? He's like, it doesn't matter, what's up?
He's like, I was talking to the dead former president. And she's like, oh, yeah, okay, whatever.
Sure. Also, please look at his posture in this chair. Like, he doesn't move when she comes in. Like, as he was talking to Bumblebee, he was just kind of like, bored. He's got an elbow on the one, his hand is resting on against his face, and she barges in. He's just like, oh, yeah, hey. And then she's like, full on, like, yeah, slams her hands on the table, like, Starscream?
Turn in your gun and badge. You're off the case. And he just looks distinctly bored.
Yeah, he hasn't changed position at all. He's just like, ugh. Windblade, it's another riot. They can't even think of anything new. And she's like, oh my god, we have been telling you forever that the badgeless, this whole thing was going to blow up.
And he says, like, don't be an idiot. I'm not going to listen to you just because you slapped an Autobot symbol on your chest plate. And I checked. She totally have an Autobot symbol on her chest plate. Is he just being, like, a dick?
She used to.
Okay.
In some artwork she does, but you're right. I'm looking back at it now. It looks like in this book she does not. At least I'm not seeing it. But she does in other, if you go back to other, like, okay, especially in the Windblade comics, she does wear one.
Because
I remember, like, initially being like, why is she wearing
that? And they're sort of giving each other the business here. And she's saying, like, just tell me what's going on so I can help. And Starscream is like, I'm never going to trust you ever. Shut up.
He is just very much like, you know, and he even says, like, you know, I knew you were naive, but now I know you're dumb. Like, are you guys kidding me?
They're being very sassy on each other.
I love that you just said that, because literally my note on this next panel is everyone real sassy in Talalar 1. Like, there's a lot of sass in these books, because even, Knockout's like,
thick
oh.
With sass.
It is just in the air. There's so much sass.
It's ripe for the sass harvest.
We got a real bumper crop of sass in these books. That is for sure.
You know what they say, sass high by the 4th of July. Got a great crop of sass.
I want to make some joke about sass high being ass high. But anyway, Knockout is saying, like, even he, yeah, he's like, oh, look who finally rolled out of bed. Look who finally showed up.
I feel like it has to suck anytime anyone is even a moment late to these, because he's like, oh, wow, thank you for showing up.
Jeez, I had an entire nap while you were still walking here. And I do love that even, like, after he says that, Rat Trap says, watch it, Red. And I'm like, ooh, I like that. Bite back from Rat Trap. And even Moonracer's like, oh, my God, everybody shut up. We have to do something now. There are riots.
Obsidian is like, yeah, Iacon is basically going to tear itself apart. Starscream is like, yeah, let's just lock down all the ghettos and kill all these guys then.
Everyone's like, what he's saying. Like,
no.
Yeah, maybe don't do that. Because, yeah, Starscream's saying he wants to push back. He wants to be punishing people for the riots. Like, if you break a window, the badges are going to be right there. They're going to get you. And, yeah, not a good idea.
Right. Iron saying, even if says they want the war, let's give them war. Yeah, yeah, go ahead.
I love this line. It's so... And, again, this is a note that just says, sassy as fuck. Ironhide says, that's the dumbest idea that's ever come out of your face, Starscream, and you've had doozies. Oof.
And the Velocitronians are like, hey, let's be nice now.
Moonracer is still trying to, like, she's pleading for some sort of sanity in the council here. Like, you guys, stop being so nasty to each other. And Airazor's like, no, that seems fair.
Airazor's saying, like, look, these riots aren't just Cybertronians. It's not even just Decepticons. Like, people from every one of our planets are down there in the crowd calling for Starscream to get out there and take some responsibility.
Right.
And Rat Trap says, well, what if we go get that combiner that's on Earth?
Yeah, everybody seemed to like her. Like, right? Yeah,
she's cool, right?
Yeah, everybody agrees. She's pretty sweet. We all
like
her.
To me, that's the equivalent of, like, civil uprising and saying, like, can we get Katy Perry to take care of this?
Right? Like, just who do you think would show up and kind of, you
everybody
know,
likes
everybody
Beyonce,
down?
Right? Can we get Beyonce?
Like, get her out here. Let's set up a real quick stage. She'll start singing. Everybody will chill out, which is kind of how it's obviously a joke because it's a hilarious show, and I hope everybody watches it. But the Wet Hot American Summer series that came out, it ends. There's a big fight at the end, and it's it's quelled by music, by someone getting up and, oh, now we can all get along. So yeah, that's essentially what they're pitching here. Like, Victorian could come to a concert, and the Divisions are like, yeah, that sounds good. I like a concert. But Starscream will not have it. He doesn't want to risk opening the space bridge with Onslaught running around unchecked.
Immediately the Ikarian's like, wait, who's Onslaught?
And it's so cute because it's Tigatron asking that. And he earlier was the one they were like, oh, Swindle. He was like, wait, who's Swindle? And they answered him. So now he's, wait, who's Onslaught?
Tigatron, he just wants to know
notes.
Things.
He just wants to make sure he's getting all of this.
I have to update my wiki.
He's like, I gotta know. He's seen some of these bots on their social media. He just needs to know. Oh, that's who that is. And Starscream just says that Onslaught was a former associate.
We used to date.
We had a thing.
And Ironhide is like, associate? He's a psychopath and a murderer. And Starscream is like, yeah, but I mean, like, come on.
And it's so good because Starscream says, I said he was an associate, not my conscience endurer. Like, God, Ironhide. I said I knew him. I wasn't married to him. Jeez. Sassy. But he does, he kind of gives a lowdown. He's saying Onslaught and his team had returned to the Decepticons. And it was when things were kind of falling apart for Starscream.
Right.
And,
things were getting bad and they made a deal. We can see in the flashback here. Onslaught is saying, like, all right, we'll protect you, but if somehow this all works out in your favor, you kick us back some help. You take us on top with you. And Starscream is like, yes, absolutely.
That sounds perfect. Which I do love, because that was always my interpretation of the Combaticons too. Because when we first, like their first iteration back in the original cartoon, Starscream does create the Combaticons. He is the reason for their existence as far, like, as we know it. Because, of course, he wants a team to fight back against Megatron. So he's like, I'm going to go get my own. And it's, God, it's so good. And I won't get into all of it here, but it obviously is the root of me being like, the Combaticons are great. I appreciate that these comics touch back on that. And then this whole idea, because of course in the cartoon, it doesn't get super in depth onto, you know, the deals that they make and everything. But when, you know, building my headcanon, I was always like, right, like what's Starscream going to do for the Combaticons besides promise them, yeah, you'll stay with me. Like, I will come into power and you'll be mine. You'll be my security.
You'll be my boys.
You'll be kept. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, hey, here you go. Yay, it's canon. That happened. At least that discussion did. Obviously, Starscream's like, and then I, like, got popular and I couldn't be seen with them. So I told him to bug off.
Also, I will say Onslaught is kind of, I don't know if this is intentional or not, but in that panel, he's kind of making the capiche hand motion.
He totally
there.
Is. Yeah. He's like got the forefinger and the thumb together. Like, we got a deal. And you can't see either of our hands, but I bet we're both doing it.
Absolutely. And Starscream looks very anime in this last panel.
Oh, gosh.
He's
so
very handsome,
pretty.
Boy.
Handsome in this panel.
And he says, like, he's probably just jealous of how pretty and popular I am. And
right,
he's doing,
like,
this out of revenge.
He's just upset because I've made him jealous. Whatever, it's not a big deal.
And this is one of my favorite exchanges in the whole series. Starscream says it's how his people always think. And Ironhide says Decepticons. And Starscream goes, no, little people.
And he looks great in that panel too. And Ironhide's like, oh god. You're the fucking worst. Okay, well, as a little person myself, I have an idea. Like, there's something we can do to stop this before it starts getting super violent and everybody starts dying. And of course, Obsidian's like, yeah, reform. That's how we stop this.
And Starscream's like, that's not gonna work. And Ironhide is like, yes, it is. Here's how it's gonna work. And you're gonna hate it.
It's gonna be terrible for you.
So we cut outside. People are throwing things at the city hall. And Ironhide is like, okay, nobody shoot.
Yeah. So he's walking out.
Right. He's
like,
got a bunch of badgeless behind him.
Right. And he's telling the badgeless, he's like, okay, everybody hold your fire. I don't care what happens. Do not fire. Which, before we go any further, I didn't notice this on my initial read through, but I'm noticing it now. I love that the stairs have stairs on either side and then like a ramp in the middle.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
You can just alt mode your way right in there.
Yeah, so good. But yes, so he's coming down the stairs, the badgeless behind him, and of course the crowd is super rowdy. They're all throwing like rocks. And now Ironhide's addressing the crowd and he's saying, okay, you guys are mad, totally get it. But he's saying, like, okay, but we've accomplished a lot and let's try to hold on to
this. We did really good, guys.
We've done so well. Let's not have it all go away now. And he announces, and of course the crowd's just shouting back to him as he's doing all this, but he's saying, Starscream has ordered that Ironhide of Cybertron, he's going to be in command of the Cybertronian security forces. And he's kind of making a promise to everybody that they're going to investigate the shooting at McAdams.
Right, he's like, we're gonna do it right this time.
Right, he wants to take away this anonymity of the badgeless, and he wants to protect everybody. He wants to help everybody, and he's opening the ranks to everyone, regardless of affiliation.
Right, anyone who wants to apply, please apply. And everybody's looking around, and he's like, I know that that's not like super great, but we're gonna find Swindle's body. We're gonna make all this work, and everybody's like, eh, fuck you, though.
Yeah, the crowd has kind of gone quiet. We get a good shot where the focus is on Onslaught and Blastoff.
Yeah.
And I like even looking at the bots around them, like, good faces drawn. We can see the two in the very back are kind of looking full at each other, like, did you, what do you think? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And he's, and Ironhide is saying, like, please help us with this. It's right. Kind of a dramatic moment.
He wants everybody to work with him.
And some bots end up throwing stones, but the two Tankors are here.
Yay, the Tankors are here. It is so sad, a little stone plinks off of Ironhide's helmet. I'm like, aw, my sweet boy. You've become so good, so docile. You just let someone throw a rock right at you. But not only are the Tankors here, they rush forward shouting, boss, boss. And yeah, they break through the crowd. They're like, yeah, we're with you. We'll do it.
Yeah, we'll sign up.
Bless the Tankors. I love them so much. I'm so glad that they're here. And Sparkstalker's here. He's like, hell yeah. You guys rule. I'm totally on board. Let's do it.
And Onslaught is like, no, this is stupid. Why do we still like cops? Where's Swindle? And Ironhide's saying, like, I don't know, but we'll find him. And Onslaught is like, not good enough! And punches him straight in the face.
Yeah, absolutely. Just swings. Ironhide, you've been hit in the face a lot, but for what it's worth...
He's taking some real damage to that pretty, pretty face.
He is. God, he does look so pretty. He used to punch people in the face a lot. I remember I was, like, keeping track of how many times Ironhide would just explode out of nowhere and cold cock people. And it was his own people. You'd be excited. One of them was him punching Prowl. The other one, he was punching Hot Rod. And I'm like...
All right. I can get behind that.
Like, okay, Ironhide, cool it. But... As Onslaught is about to pick up a giant hunk of cement or something, some sort of rock.
Yeah.
Presumably to beat Ironhide with it. Blastoff runs up and he puts him in a chokehold. He's like, that's enough. Knock it off.
Chill out, buddy. And he wrenches his arm behind his back and he's like, I'm not going to have you screw this up for us. And he's like, hey, Ironhide, let me join your team.
I totally want to join up if you'll have me. And of course, Onslaught's like, you're the worst.
Why you?
Traitor. And then he's shouting back to the crowd. He wants them to keep fighting. And Blastoff's like, you changed, man. You used to be cool.
What happened? He's like, I grew up. You never did.
Man, we're really good at writing bugs.
We're pretty great at Transformers. And he's like, I can't save you from yourself. And Ironhide is like, okay, if you want, I know you just punched me in the face, but if you still want to join, I'll let you.
You're totally loud.
Onslaught's like, fuck off. And he walks off.
He's going to his room.
And we see the intelligentsia looking down at the proles from their ivory tower.
Their skybox.
Yeah. And they're like, Rat Trap is like, so we probably need to, like, say something, right?
Yeah, there should probably be some sort of comment. Look at the little teeny tiny Divisions with their hands, like, full on the window, like, ooh.
And I love this, because Starscream is like, yes, give me just a minute to work on that. If everybody would step out, that would be great. Thank you so much. And Windblade is like, hey, I'm going to stick around.
And I do like, he's like, God, of course you're still here. What is it, city speaker?
And Windblade is like, hey, do you have Swindle's body? And Starscream almost seems to not be able to stop himself.
Yeah, like we get a teeny bit of, like a tiny glimpse of insight here. Because yeah, his response is, what if I do? And Bumblebee's like, you fucking don't. Why are you leading her on?
And he immediately sort of recants and he goes, no, I don't have Swindle's body. Onslaught doesn't have it either. And she's like, oh, okay.
And he does let her know. He's like, P.S., you should be looking out for Onslaught. Like, you should probably be afraid of that dude. And I love this whole exchange here because he's letting her know that Onslaught is one of the few minds that ever outmaneuvered Starscream, which makes him dangerous. And Windblade's like, well, lucky you that you won this round. But then Starscream points out to her, he's like, well, okay, I'm glad we're on the same page. You are now in charge of shutting down the Combaticons.
Right, you're on Onslaught duty.
Yeah, that's where you're going now. She's like, wait, why would you want me to do that? And he says it's because she has also outmaneuvered Starscream. So, and she wants reform, and Ironhide has control of the police.
Right, and also he has blackmail material.
Yes, And these two have such a good dynamic. I love the Windblade Starscream dynamic. I feel like with Windblade, we finally have someone who plays Starscream's game back at him.
Yeah.
Like, Megatron can just kind of shut Starscream down, whereas Windblade can play it back. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I get that. Like, Megatron is just the very decisive sort of overpower type, whereas Windblade is equally skilled at playing the game.
Yes. And I love it. I really love that we're getting, that finally somebody has this relationship with Starscream. So we're getting really good stuff out of him and really good stuff out of what the other people have to do in order to play against him.
And he's saying, so you're going to watch them for me. Just keep an eye out. Let me know if they're going to try anything. And she's saying, you know, like, there's a line here. Me being a spy, right. You're getting real close to crossing the line. And he's saying, like, yes, you tell me this quite often.
Well, yeah. We've seen Starscream play this against, this is what he has on Windblade. And we know that it's all that he has.
Right.
Is the events of the first Windblade miniseries. I do want to point out his exact line to her when she says, there's a line, Starscream. He says, is there? Well, I'm sure you'll scream when I cross it. Which, that's a line.
Yeah.
It's a good one. And with that, he leaves the room.
Yep, and Chromie and Obsidian are sort of standing in the doorway. But we cut to Blastoff here.
That's such a sweet moment here. It's so good. Yeah, Blastoff's leaving the remnants, the remains of the Pride Parade, and little Tankor. Did we name him something else? What did he call himself? He called himself Fast Tankor.
Yeah, something like Great at Singing Tankor.
Yeah.
Excellent haircut Tankor.
Does a sweet ollie on a skateboard Tankor.
Super great at Guitar Hero Tankor.
He can play on Expert Tankor.
And he's saying, hey, Blastoff, like, I know you probably can't hang out with your Combaticom buddies, so if you need a place to stay, me and my other Tankor, you can hang out with us. And he's like, oh, thanks.
God, it's such a cute moment. Also, when I was reading this, I had to throw a hand over my mouth to stifle the shriek I had when I read, you can bunk with me another Tankor, because it's so cute. Also, like, it just assures everyone, like, if there was ever any inkling of doubt, don't worry, the Tankors are always together.
Good. They're pure.
And now that I have, like, potentially neighbors right on the other side of my wall, I'm like, oh, God, I can't be shrieking at night when I'm reading comic books. I was just very excited. It was so cute. So, yes, so he invites Blastoff to, he's like, we don't have much, but you're welcome. Come bunk with us. It'll be like a sleepover. And Blastoff's like, oh my God, that's so sweet. Yeah.
He's like, I will so be there. I'm going to take a walk for a minute.
And of course, we know where he's going because we knew what his game was. As soon as he was like, hey, Ironheart, can I join? He's going to go meet his boyfriend, Onslaught.
Who is hanging in a seedy back alley.
Of course he is.
And Blastoff calls him Sir.
Ooh, I like
that's hilarious. And he's like, are you okay? He's like, yeah, man, great job, we done did it, you've infiltrated the police department.
It's so cute. He puts an arm around him, he's looking down like, yeah,
I'm so proud,
super proud. My note here said, it's so cool that the Combaticons are a boy band who are all living together and dating each other. I'm so excited.
It's the Together House.
Yep.
That's a deep cut there for anybody who gets it. You'll really appreciate it. Anyway, yeah, let's dig right into number three here.
Hop right into three. Which, look at this cover. I'm in love with this cover. Speaking of the boy band,
it's a great cover. Yeah, it's very boy band.
Yeah, it's all of the Combaticons and even shot Swindle, and then like the hazy, shadowy,
distant. Yeah,
yeah. The promise of Bruticus behind all of them.
Good old Brutal Kisses. That's the name of the album.
I mean, that's where his name comes from. They came up with it while they were smooching one night.
There you go. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. All right. And so we go to Metroplex's brain.
Yes.
We have Wind Voice.
So cute. And of course she, there she is smiling. It's always nice when Windblade gets to smile. But so she, we now, yeah, she has some, a job she has to do. She doesn't want to do it, but right. she has to keep her jerk of a boss happy. So she's now coming to Metroplex to see if she can get a visual on the Combaticons.
I will say it is super, super cute that Metroplex says, how can I, Metroplex, be a Vane? I just think that's super adorable. And she's like, hey, I need you to do some spying for me.
Yeah, will you do this, please? And then he asks why a bunch of times. Why?
Right. And she's like, well, just, you know, we're friends, right?
Yeah, just trust me on this, right? And as this is happening, Chromia shows up.
Yeah. And Chromia's like, hey, why are you spying?
Yeah, why do you want to look at that? What are you doing?
What are you spying for? and Windblade's what? And Chromia's like, you're acting weird. Are you doing spying?
Is this some sort of spy setup?
Are you a spy at the moment? I don't understand.
Did Ironhide hire you to be a spy?
And she's like, no, I'm spying for Starscream. And Chromia immediately like, is he threatening you?
And look at the beautiful expression of like pure concern on her face there. It's so good. Like she's immediately worried for her friend. It's very sweet.
Yeah, these bots have very good emotions because Windblade like lashes out and goes, no, he's not threatening me. He doesn't have anything on me.
He doesn't have any dirt on me.
And she does that thing where she like rubs her nose, but she's clearly pointing at Chromia.
It's literally how Sarah drew it.
Yeah. And Chromia's like, did I do something?
The thought of her being like, what did I even do?
She immediately is like, oh, right, that earthquake and the acrolyte thing. Yeah, okay, sure. That
died.
Right.
But she does say, she's like, Windblade, oh my god, you cannot be doing this stuff because I made a dick move. But of course, Windblade's like, look, I helped cover it up. Like, I'm still partially, like, I still have some things to answer for here. And she does say she doesn't want to give up peace. Like, the whole reason she's...
Right.
She kept the secret, and the whole reason she continues to work with Starscream is the same reason she's here in the first place. She just wants everybody to be at peace.
And Chromia is saying, like, well, let's figure out what he's, like, looking for so that we can find a way out of this.
Yeah.
And Windblade's, no, I can't. And Chromia's like, let me do my job!
Right, like, come on, let me in on this.
And she's like, well,
let me into your world, girl.
He's afraid of Onslaught. It's something to do with Swindle. And Chromia's saying, well, we'll just find Swindle then.
Yeah. And of course, yeah, they're like, well, I mean, it should just be his body, but nobody knows where it is. Which, I mean, to take a step back, in fairness, good question. Because even after he was shot, you were like, wait, where did he go, though? Like, who did take him? So, of course, it's very rewarding reading these books. Because we do find out very soon who took him.
And I love that Windblade is like, well, how are we going to find his body? And Chromia is like, oh, I've been doing a lot of spying lately.
Ooh, yeah. Chromia gives us a little bombshell of her own. And not the kind that kills three people in the Acrolyte District. So she's set up her own private user profile with Metroplex.
She's saying like, hey, can I be real with you? I'm so into spying.
Like, we could start a spy business. I'm just throwing it out there.
Just
like,
when Windblade and Chromia, private eyes, just saying whatever, think
they
about it.
They could find, like, lost bracelets and stuff.
They could star in Babysitter's Club novels. And Windblade is saying, well, I mean, this isn't, like, good, right? Because it looks like all that data that you have is corrupted.
Right. Because, and they kind of... They explain all this because of course, Swindle got shot when the first Decepticon Pride Parade was coming through and trying to use the portal and get to the other colonies. Right. And that was when he was shot. And so Starscream wanted all of that footage wiped, the footage of the space bridge. So that was where Windblade was like, we can't go back and look at it because I don't have it. We wiped it all. Which, of course, it's like, girl, why'd you let him do that? But Chromia's saying, it's cool. Again, she has a private user profile, so she's just going to hop in there. But now we're seeing, yes, it right. is. All corrupted.
And she's like, that sludge liquor Starscream corrupted it. And Windblade is like, I feel like he would have bragged about it.
Yeah, somebody else must have done that. Which, I mean, very good point. Windblade, she knows her guy. She's like, I got his number. He didn't do this.
And so we cut to Station 37.
And we have... Oh, look, it's the new recruits. And we have Ironhide going down the line. We see some of our boys. Look at Tall Tankor. He's sleepy. They were up all night chatting. You know
yeah,
they
were. Yeah, they were playing fun party games.
They were playing Fuck, Marry, Kill, Start a Business With. They were eating popcorn.
I gotta interrupt here. Anyone who likes Fuck, Marry, Kill, I highly encourage you to play Fuck, Marry, Kill, Start a Business With, because that's way more fun.
It's really fun. It makes you, like, consider a whole new realm of how you see people. You're like, oh yeah, who would I want to start
right.
a business with?
Like, what is Starscream's credit score?
Right, which, you know what, maybe in alt mode, you and I will play Fuck, Marry, Kill, Start a Business With.
There you go, people. Patreon.com/Soundwave.
There you go.
And he's given the sort of general, like, you darn maggots are going to shape
you're,
up.
You're certainly going to hate me by the end of the day. I know you love me now.
Yeah, and I know we're all real good friends, and we like holding hands, but...
They're literally all holding hands in line.
It's okay to be mad at me.
You're going to be mad by the end of the day, but I think in a few weeks... You'll
Don't worry,
again.
We'll have some juice and some snacks at the end of the day. We'll all refresh.
Everybody stick around. It's going to be good. So yeah, so we're like, okay, Ironhide's getting his team together. We can see Chromia is trying to decrypt.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Salvage.
Yeah.
And we basically get a cool montage.
Yeah, it's a cool back and forth. We can see Ironhide sparring with the recruits, and it is cute. We have the Tankors cheering on Blastoff, just hanging there. Sparkstalkers cheering him on, and it's just real cute. There's some real camaraderie, which I feel like Blastoff must be used to, because he's like, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, I hang out with boys all the time.
He's used to just being around boys all the time. So yes, we started day one, and then we jumped to day six. Chromia looks so cute here. She looks cute in a few times, particularly in this book. She's cute all the time.
It's very much like when I'm working on my computer, I will talk to it. That is exactly what Chromia is doing here.
Yeah, she's like sitting there cross-legged. She has like iPads around her, and she's got the keyboard on her lap, and she's just like, okay, come on, Metroplex. You're totally right. I feel like that's just, I'm sure other people listening do this too, where you're just like, oh, okay. And of course, my computer's name is Alita, and I'll just be like, oh my God, come on, Alita, just do this. Just hurry. You can do it. So she, of course, yes, is trying to, at least hers is literally a brain.
that's something to work on. We go back to Police Academy here. I will say, I saw this and I was like, Swerve, what are you doing here?
Sparkstalker in his robot form does very much, he has strong resemblance to Swerve. The whole
and
the
not only
the
that,
light.
But like, he's cheating on the test here. And right. I'm like, damn, that's a Swerve thing to do even.
It very much is. Yeah, you're not wrong. Just swap him for a day. Nobody would even notice.
it's an exchange program.
Everything Sparkstalker made in the bar would be on fire. Right. I think that's the only tell that he would have.
It's got to be like a Prince and Pauper situation where they change, but eventually they don't want to change back.
Right. They're like, but it's so much better on the other side. Can you imagine Swerve just suddenly, oh man, I like, because of course Sparkstalker is part of like the fire bots.
The Rescue Rangers.
Name. Yeah, that's it.
It's not yes. it, but whatever.
Swerve would suddenly have, like, a crew, which, he would probably love that.
He would love that.
Swerve does really want a crew. But yes, it is very cute, Sparkstalker being like, hey, help me answer this question. Don't let Ironhide see you, Sparkstalker. He's gonna get mad.
And we cut to
day way too many.
Right. And we see Chromia just like so laying cute. Down. Like, I'm never gonna fix this. This sucks.
She's got her full on, yeah, just like belly down.
Yeah, she's pouting.
Head tucked into her arms, just like, I can't do it.
And we cut back to the Police Academy sketch here. Blast off is bullseye in them targets.
He's really and Ironhide
is like, hey, I like the way you fire that gun.
You are great at firing that gun, that is for sure. And thank you, sir, is what Blast off tells him. There's respect here. They've come back around from hating Ironhide to loving him again. And Ironhide goes to the council and he's like, yeah, my troops look real good. We can probably start patrolling in the next few weeks. And it's here we go, another moment where I'm like, God, Ironhide, look at you, just coming into the council, bringing good news. Knockout's like, you're so great, Ironhide. We're always happy when you show up because you bring us good news. And you're like, Ironhide, wow,
you're the best.
Even Knockout likes Ironhide. Damn.
and we cut back to Police Academy and they're saying like, hey, we're all going to get smashed.
Yeah.
You come and Blast off? And Blast off is saying like, no, I got to study.
He's going to figure out the booking system if it kills him, and it just might.
crazy.
You all get like, drunk, he's going to arrest himself.
You slide, dog.
And it's just real cute. You're like, ah, these sweet friends.
What good buds.
Blastoff is also kind of in a Prince and the Pauper situation where he's like, I don't know, it is kind of better on the other side. At least I imagine he might be. But of course.
Right, but he's just looking up swindle data and he sees that it's being accessed by somebody else.
He's like, what the hell is this? Who? And we know who. The other person trying to get swindle data.
Yeah, good old Tromia.
She's on it. Obsidian, again, we cut back to the council and they're kind of all leaving. We can see council's, it's ended. Everybody's kind of leaving except for Starscream and Windblade. He's just holding this over her head because the way he addresses her, he'll say delegate, city speaker. He doesn't tend to call her by her name.
Right, just title. And he's like, are you doing your job? And she's like, yeah. I don't care. They're fine. Calm down. Shut up. And he's like, look, I'm trying to get them to not kill everybody. Please take this seriously.
And of course she's like, look, all I know is that Blastoff, he lives with the Tankors now. He's apparently really good at Police Academy.
He has a crush on Short Tankor.
He definitely has a crush on Short Tankor, to which Starscream's like, ooh, that's juicy. That's hot goss. Hot
goss.
And she's like, and the rest of the Combaticons just live in their shitty apartment and they barely ever leave it.
And she's very familiar with who is better with a Guitar Hero at this point.
She's like, God, if I have to listen to Vortex fail at, I can't think of a song off the top of my head, but one more time.
And Starscream is saying like, but if there was anything you would know, right? And Windblade is like, probably not, dog. I will be real with you. I do not care. You should get someone else to do this.
Right. Maybe you're not going to get the most information out of the person you forced into the job. Maybe if somebody actually wanted to listen to idiots play Guitar right. Hero, you'd be getting some information.
She's saying, I hate this and I hate you, bye. And she walks out. We cut to Blastoff here. And Blastoff, as well as Chromia, are both looking at the same footage, and it's very interesting.
It's very interesting.
It's very interesting now. It's
super interesting.
Tell us about this footage now.
Oh my God. I had to do another like, oh my God, shut up, don't be loud, because of course I shouted when I saw this. It was me like, okay. So they find footage of what happened to Swindle's body, which we've been asking for a while. It is being carried off by Rat Trap.
That wily Rat Trap doing it all by himself.
He does have a little bit of help from Wheeljack. And the immediate response, of course, is, oh my God. Hey, Jack, what are you doing? What's this? What's happening? What are you up to?
Rat Trap, I expected, but Wheeljack, I thought better of you.
I was literally very taken aback by this. I was very, very surprised. I hope everybody else was too.
And so
this just raises all these questions.
There's a lot of questions raised by it.
And of course, Crummy's immediately like, "Ah, damn it, of course.
Why you?"
And she, and it's interesting, of course, from Chromia's point of view, because of course, you know, she sees Ratchet and she's probably thinking the same way we are, where she's like, well, of course that fucker was on it. But then, so of course she's like rushing out. She's only getting Windblade's answering machine, her voicemail, if you use a phone from the past 20 years. So she's just leaving her message. It's like, it was Rat Trap and Wheeljack. And I love it because she says, okay, I'm headed to Jackie right now, but I need backup. Call me back. And yeah, there was just a lot of like shrill noises coming from my production room tonight as I was reading these comics. Because it's so cute calling him Jackie. And we can see why Windblade isn't responding, because of course she's still with our little prince of Cybertron.
Right, and he's saying like, no, I will tell everybody that you're bad people unless you do the things I say. Tell me I'm handsome.
Yeah, repeat after me. Only make it sound like you thought of it yourself.
She's like, I'm Windblade and I stink real bad. Say it! And Chromia goes and finds Wheeljack.
They're like at apartments.
Yeah, Wheeljack is like, oh my god, it's so late. What are you doing?
Why aren't you asleep?
He's a sleepy boy.
And she's like, you gotta get inside right now. He's like, this is my house. I was inside. What are you doing?
I am inside. I don't understand.
And let's take a moment in my note here, Dusting. Look at this handsome little house. Oh my god, because of course then you scroll down further and you're like, oh shit. Right. Wheeljack has a lovely little apartment.
Look at his house. His little one-bedroom efficiency here.
God, he's so cute. And then the front door blows off of it.
He has a really good expression.
He has such a good expression.
Pants-shittingly freaked out.
Like, of course, he and Chromie are both, like, immediately smacked into the ground. She is taking the brunt of the blast, because she was walking behind him into his house. Her battle axe is out, by the way, so I'm sure he's like, what the hell? Only he says it with his fantastic accent. And then, yeah, the door blows off, and oh, we got the littlest Combaticons. And Vortex is so excited, because he's like, yes, I get to use my swords.
I get to fight. Finally, violence.
At last. Which
is probably what comic book retailers were saying. Like, all right, finally, people killing
like,
each other.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that that's what's supposed to happen in these stories.
And Chromia has her shield out, which is rad looking.
Yeah, do love her shield. She's got her battle axe, her arm, like, axe over Jack. It's very cute.
She gives Vortex a good slice in the arm, but she gets shot in the back here.
Yeah. They're swapping hits here. And, of course, then she's down on the ground, and Jack's seen this position before. He's been here before. She's down, and Blastoff has the gun to her back. And he's like, uh-huh. So we are both at Wheeljack's house. So I'm guessing we both saw the same thing. So you were the other one looking at the footage.
And he's like, yeah, you work for Starscream. And she's like, I don't work for Starscream. I work for Windblade. And he's like, well, Windblade worked for Starscream. And she's like, well, she not. Does. You need to understand political structure.
She's like, listen, do you guys have a second? Let me explain some things to you.
let's have a social studies class right here.
Let's just, give me a whiteboard. Jack, you have one of those. He's like, well, yeah, I have like three.
He's like, it's actually all whiteboard.
Just any wall. Just go ahead.
Here's some markers.
He's got all the colors. Which one do you want? And of course, Vortex like, oh my God, who cares? Social studies, no, kill her. Who cares? We have Wheeljack.
And Wheeljack, she's like, don't tell them anything, Wheeljack. And Wheeljack is like, okay, I'll take you to Swindle.
Right, Blast. Because of course, yeah. Poor Jackie, you can't do this to him. Like I said, this is how he got killed before. He's like, no.
That's true.
Maybe don't. He looks so distressed. Oh, poor baby. Which, yay, I'm so excited that Sarah draws him the way Sarah Stone drew him. Or that similar kind of... Right. Style. I like it. It's very cute.
And he's saying, like, I'll take you to Swindle, but just be aware, not a lot of Swindle left.
Right. Like, it's, there's just some things you need to know. And Blastoff now is rounding back on Vortex. He's like, aha, you want me to shoot her? Look, he's going to do what we want him to do. And
we're great at this.
I just have to throw out Sarah deserves some sort of award because she managed to make Vortex pout, who is another bot with a faceplate and a visor, and he is full on squinting his eyes and sticking out his lip, and you can tell. The crown is yours, Sarah. Congratulations.
Well done. We're very proud.
Super well done. And then look at this next panel. Look how cute Wheeljack is. He's so cute. I can't get over him.
And Blastoff saying, like, what do you mean he's what do you mean too late?
The actual story.
We can just go over each panel individually and talk about how cute everybody is. That's definitely a viable thing here.
That'll be our special episode.
And Wheeljack saying, like, he's brain dead. You guys know I'm not a doctor, right? Like, I'm a scientist. There's a difference.
Right. Like, I did what I could, but I couldn't do that much.
He's like, I mostly make things and fix things. Not like, I know we're kind of things, but you know what? Don't think too hard about it. Blastoff is saying, like, okay, well, I don't care. Just take us there. And we cut to Rat Trap's apartment.
Yes. And he was visited by the other Combaticons.
Yeah, we got Onslaught here. And Onslaught's saying, like, hey, where's Swindle's body? And Rat Trap is just like, what do you mean?
Right. I don't know who's Swindle. What are you talking about? And what, Jack's what, like,
you trying to swindle me? What's going on, partner?
What is this? What are you getting
at? He calls
at?
Him partner. It was weird.
He does. It's right here.
And Wheeljack is just like, Rat Trap, you don't got to call him partner. They already know.
He can drop that whole act. But then, yes, of course, now they're like, well, apparently Swindle's brain dead.
Right.
But maybe we can find a surgeon. And then it gets real sweet all of a sudden. Because Onslaught, very angrily, because of course he's very tense. Rough things have happened for Onslaught. He's just trying to make this work. And he says, no, no one else can be involved. I don't trust anyone but you. Oh my god, that's so sweet. It's very cute. The fact that
he's very
like,
cute.
You, Blastoff, I trust you. And then it gets funny. It brings it back around because Brawl's like, what about me? And he's like, I can't even trust you to get dressed in the morning, Brawl. God. Which, fair enough.
Yeah, I get it.
You guys do tend to just balance things on each other. So, yeah, okay.
And they're saying, well, we'll be able, just even if Swindle's brain dead, we'll be able to see his memories. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this a NEMA surgery thing? And it took me a minute to realize what they were getting at here.
Yes. Well, and because, it does seem like it would be the NEMA surgery thing, especially because we just touched on the secret police doing it to Decepticons trying to find out where
it's fresh in our memory.
Yes. Onslaught looks pointedly at Rat Trap. He's like, you know what to do. Because then, of course, you're like, NEMA surgery. And he doesn't want to get anybody else involved. Oh, okay. Rat Trap knows what to do. Yep. So he sends him off. And the rest of them head down into the places where Onslaught had been looking before, similar to it. But deeper inside of Metroplex. Because, of course, Wheeljack is like, okay, I'm going to take you guys to where Swindle is.
And he says, I'm sorry for dragging you into this, Chromia. I thought we were doing the right thing. And Chromia says, well, then don't apologize. This is the kind of danger getting, like, doing the right thing gets you in.
Right. She kind of applauds him. She's like, we're in danger because you tried to do the right thing, which is admirable because that's not the kind of danger she is used to getting into.
And she's saying, so what's so important about this Swindle guy? And Wheeljack says, well, Rat Trap and apparently Onslaught both thought he had information on Starscream, and we felt like we needed to know that.
Right. Everybody was after the same thing.
Like, right.
Swindle which is, has something.
Yeah. And we know that. Starscream.
We absolutely know what he did. Or, like, yeah, the fact that Starscream double-crossed him, and it would ruin his entire setup here.
And we open the door, and there's Swindle.
I do want to point out on that last page, I love the panel treatment. Like, it's separated by the pipes and everything.
It's really well done.
It's really, really well done.
It's worked into the scene. Yeah.
Yes. Aw, Swindle baby.
We're running diagnostics on him.
Yeah. And he's got, like, the mask on and everything, so he's just kind of, like, on the slab, but he's alive, but he's not responsive.
Blastoff is saying, like, look, unless Rat Trap can do NEMA surgery, like, I don't think Swindle's going to be able to talk to us ever again. He looks pretty brain dead, dog.
Right. I don't know what you're getting at, homie.
And Blastoff is saying, like, seemingly legitimately, like, maybe we don't need to do this. Like,
yeah.
Everyone hates Starscream, and maybe we'll never win, but, like, maybe we don't need to.
Right. Like, maybe we can stop trying to do the things we've been doing for so long. Maybe we can do something else. And, like, Onslaught is just holding on to this need to get to Swindle, to take down Starscream, to get revenge. And his response to Blastoff is that he can't stop. This is finally it. He's finally at the point. Like, the reason he wouldn't go out into those riots was because he might blow his chance to get things right. And he's seeing this as the chance to do it. This is the time he's going to get it right. And this is their last chance as he sees it. And Blastoff says, okay, then. I'm with you. Which you're like, aw, that's loyalty. That's a boy band.
And Rat Trap is like, hey, are you guys busy?
Yeah.
Should we give you some time here? And Onslaught is saying, like, did you get that thing I sent you?
Rat Trap's like, yeah, but I don't think you should do it.
Yeah, this is going to be a bad idea, dude. And Onslaught's like, okay, shut up. We're going to do it anyway.
Yep,
and
just, like, grabs him. Throws him against a wall.
And Blastoff says, well, what is it? And Onslaught says, oh, it's the Enigma of Combination.
Oh, dip. And of course, that last panel where you see him holding it and he's saying, it's our last shot. And he is not throwing away his shot. They can do this. They can do it just them. And they don't need anyone else ever again. And it's just that last shot of him saying that and holding the Enigma. And I was hype. I was like, yes.
It's pretty hype. This is
fantastic. Oh, it's so good. And promises that Bruticus is going to be here very soon.
And looking at that cover, looks pretty Bruticus to me on number four here.
Fantastic cover. Like, this, yeah, it's really, really beautiful. Her use of, like, atmospheric, kind of like the way he's kind of hazy in the distance and he's so big and we just have Ironhide in the forefront. Oh, it looks really, really good. It's very pretty.
And let's go ahead and jump in here. Immediately, they start combining.
And
Rat Trap even says, he did it. That idiot's combining with a brain-dead bot. Thanks for catching us up, Rat Trap.
Appreciate you, friend.
By the way, that's how Rat Trap sounds.
Yeah. Do you know how Rat Trap actually sounds?
Not a clue.
It's funny. He's actually similar in a way to Wheeljack. They both have, I'm trying to think if he... Because he's voiced by Scott McNeil. I'm trying to think if there was another character that...
I just imagine him as kind of like a Vinny the Snitch kind of voice.
Yeah. He, like, talks like this.
Yeah.
There
you go. Yeah. I guess correctly, it sounds like.
Yeah, yeah.
Great job.
but, of course, Wheeljack, because he's the intelligent one here, was like, maybe we should go. Like, there's...
Yeah, I don't want anything to do with this, by the way.
We should probably leave. And so, yeah, they turn
around. Like, I made my cameo.
let's hightail it out of here. They do turn, and they run. We get the title drop, the line between us.
And we get the three of them running away. We get Bruticus in the back there looking rad.
Yeah, he's formed up. And then we get a fantastic...
Yeah, what a cool spread.
God, I'm in love with this spread here. Because we're getting all the Combaticons, kind of getting a glimpse into how their minds are individually thinking as they're all in the visor of Bruticus.
Yeah, and we have Onslaught at the top here saying, like, we're so proud, powerful. We're
that
Bruticus.
One's Brawl, actually. Brawl is he's all about the fact that, because, yeah, he just wants to fight everybody. So he's like, oh, this is
okay,
great.
I see. Yeah,
we're super strong. And then we have Sweetie Vortex is trying to keep it together. He's trying to just hold on. Blastoff is shouting for Onslaught, who, of course, is looking. Onslaught was the one, of course, who initiated this, so he's got a little more of his bearings here.
And he's reaching out of the panel here into the other panel, and he's sort of, like, watching the footage that is happening in Swindle's mind, which is Starscream saying, hey, Swindle, you want to get rich?
And the last, though, in that visor... is so good, because then, of course, it's Swindle, because he's part of Bruticus here. And what's left of him is, like, he's thinking enough that he knows we're dead, he shot us, we're dead, and he's just kind of repeating that to himself. But even that is then inside his Like, his is almost Inception-like, where it's, he's inside the visor of Bruticus thinking this, and then his thoughts are inside his own optics.
Visor, it's right.
Really, really, it's treated very well.
Very thoughtful.
Yeah.
And we see Blastoff saying, like, hey, we're losing control, but we're watching the security cam footage here.
Yeah, it looks like he's in the room.
Yeah.
With Swindle's memories of when Starscream brought Swindle the Enigma of Combination.
And he's saying, like, he's laying out, he's baiting his own trap here, saying, like, I need you to stir up trouble on Kaminus, and it can't point back to me. Make it happen. And Blastoff is saying, like, there was a tape. We can find this tape. Let's find this tape.
Right. We're seeing, because of course we saw when Starscream approached Swindle about all of this and screwed him over. And now we know Swindle recorded it.
Yeah.
So this is huge.
And the three other conscious Combaticons are saying, yeah, let's burn everybody. And yeah. Blastoff is like, no, let's find the tape. And they're like, okay, fine, let's find the tape.
And burn everybody.
And Bruticus is saying, like, yeah, find tape, I guess. And Ironhide is saying, like, uh-oh, I'm getting a lot of notifications on my phone.
Yeah, oh, he's blowing up. People are hitting him up all over the place. So he's like, oh, okay, something big is going down in Sector 4.
It's
going
to be a tough day at the office.
Can we get some Jan Michael Vincent? Can we get him over to Sector 4? Everyone move out.
And we have Bruticus breaking through the ground and ripping stuff up. And I just want to say this bot in the front right here kind of looks like Rug almost. He looks cool.
He does. He looks like... Because, of course, he caught my eye, too. He's very pretty. He reminds me of the Necrobot and of Trepan a little bit.
Yeah, he almost... I almost like Tyrus-y, too.
Yeah. He's very pretty.
Yeah. And so Ironhide is like, all right, team, this is what we trained for.
You all hated me, and then you came back around to loving me, and it was all for this. You know what to do.
It's the third act, everybody. Make it happen.
He even pairs off the people that we know. Sparkstalker, right. Tankors, you're with me.
Yeah, and everybody else is just making everybody fall back to point nine.
Right, he's like, go get the council, make sure those idiots don't get themselves killed. We gotta keep them alive. And he does finish off with the classic, you trained for this. Show me what you can do.
We're canceling the apocalypse.
That's right. It would be a very powerful moment. But the Tankors and Sparkstalker with Ironhide, they're like, it's so sweet. They're like, where's Blastoff? Why isn't he here with us?
He's part of the team.
And now, oh no, turns out like, he's part of another team.
God darn it.
He got us.
So Ironhide is saying, like, all right, I know that's Onslaught in there. Blastoff is in there. Everybody just chill out. Let's not do anything here.
Yeah, let's all just cool it. And he lobs a grenade at him, which, I mean, I get. I'm regularly in that position where you just fire wildly in the direction of what you want to hit.
Real grenade throwing kind of day.
It really is. Aiming is overrated. He like throws a grenade, which of course just kind of like, just a little explosion next to Bruticus's head, like whatever. So, but of course it makes him go, I'm going to murder all of you.
Yeah, why don't I kill everybody? Isn't that fun?
Yeah. Blastoff's still in there, still trying to hold everybody back.
He's like, we gotta find this videotape.
Yep, we're not trying to kill people, we're just trying to find the tape. And Onslaught's like, they're in the way.
If we kill people, it'll be much easier to find the tape.
That is sound reasoning. And then we do cut to the rest of the recruits, and they're getting the council members out to safety.
I want to say, I know this guy has like a gun strapped to him, but at first I thought it was like a safety boy sash.
It is now. So all of Ironhide's safety boys wear little Boy Scout or Girl Scout style vests.
Little safety boy squad.
They get little badges when they for certain things. One of the tall Tankor has one for prettiest eyes, you know, things like that.
Class clown.
Yeah, definitely. That one went to blast off.
All right. And this bot is saying, like, all right, let's get you to safety, sir. And Starscream's so like, cute. Don't touch me, peasant.
He is kind of like, how precious. Little safety bot calling Starscream, sir. Starscream, you should be nice to him. He is being very kind to you.
And Windblade is like, hey, Starscream, did you need anything? Because I'm a little busy.
What up, a-hole? What's all this? What did you do? And thank goodness we get more of one of my fave duos. And just because I imagine half of their conversations are those conversations you have with your friend when you're both like half whispering and half yelling at each other. And like, you're trying not to shout, but like, you're whispering, but you have to let them know how mad you are. That's just how I imagine them talking all the time.
That's exactly correct, because yeah.
They're always leaned into each other.
They're both in, like, small caps font here. And he's saying, like, if this wouldn't happen if you had just done your job. Yeah. And she's like, my job is to take care of the city, not be your spy.
That's exactly how it is. And it's so good. It's perfect. And he's like, oh, well, you were such a good spy. Guess what? Now you're an assassin. If you don't go kill those guys, guess what? Everybody's gonna know that your girlfriend killed other people. So you better get to killing more people.
And she says, I'm not gonna kill to protect your secrets. He's like, then kill to protect your secrets. And I love her on this next page because she just looks like,
right, like,
I hate this.
Resignation, like, son of a fuck, he's gone.
She looks very defeated, but in like a just exhausted way.
Right, like in a noble way, almost like, he's right. I will kill to protect my secrets.
And Chromia is saying, like, all right, you boys get out of here. Talking about Wheeljack and Rat Trap here.
Right. And of course, Wheeljack's like, aren't you coming with? She's like, nah, I got a job to do.
I got a combiner to beat up.
I can probably take it down with my bare hand. Oh, wait, when did Spike Witwicky get here? I didn't even see him enter the room.
It's weird that he's totally nude, too.
I mean, he decided the shorts weren't enough.
Yeah, he said, you know what? I'm off panel, so I'm just entirely naked, as far as anybody knows. Windblade is talking to Chromia on the
call. Right, she gets a call.
Right, and they're saying, like, the deal's off with Starscream. We don't need to worry about that anymore.
Right, do what you gotta do.
And let's just make sure that whatever that information the combiner has, let's get it. Also, Windblade's vehicle form looks rad here.
Yeah, she is, she's got a great alt mode. It's always very sleek, very lovely. And it's cool to see her use it. Especially because, again, in books like More Than Meets the Eye, we don't get to see them use their alt modes that much. So it is neat when they are very fluidly just used, because you think that's still them. Like, it would be very natural for them to just hop into jet mode and take off. So I like to see it used. But you're right. She looks great. But yeah, and she's saying that, look, if we can get whatever Bruticus has, then we don't have to worry about Starscream holding anything over us. So all bets are off. Just go for him.
Yeah, what the heck? Why not? Chromia's like, okay, whatever you say, I'll do it. Let's do this. And Windblade's saying, like, just contain the damage. Get out as soon as that thing is uncombined. We're going back to Kaminus, and you're never coming back. And Chromia says, well, what about you? And Windblade says, well, I'm going to do my job, which is talking.
She is a speaker. She speaks for the city.
Yeah. And Chromia says, all right, Ironhide, we're going to try talking to this thing. And Ironhide says, like, I really, like, we're friends, but I don't know about that one.
It's like, that seems like a stretch. She's like, come on, just go with me, man. We got to try it. And he's like, all right, fine. Shoot at its legs.
Right. And we see Windblade flying up to Bruticus here, getting right up in his face, saying, like, okay, I know you're fighting a Starscream and I want to help. And Bruticus is like, nah, and just like whaps her down like a fly.
Yeah, like, nah, back cancer. Get out of the way.
And Chromia flips and she's like, oh my God, oh my God.
Oh shoot, you hit the ground really hard. Windblade's like, it's okay.
I'm fine, calm down.
And then, of course, Bruticus is still there. He's still looming, and he's huge. He's very dangerous. And Blastoff still trying to take control. So he does hesitate. He kind of holds for a moment.
Yeah.
Chromia is now in front of Windblade. Now Ironhide's panicking because Chromia and Windblade are now both in the line of fire. So he's
pulling on his safety sash.
He's getting that safety sash out, and we can see now Bruticus is turning fully towards the Camians, and he flips his shoulder guns down. You're like, oh shoot, that's not good.
And Chromia is ready to defend against whatever Bruticus has, but she doesn't have to because Ironhide shoots him through the head.
Yeah, yikes.
Causing mass decombination.
Yeah, he just
uncombination.
The uncombination is complete.
Right. And Windblade freaks out. She's like, oh shit. Onslaught, Swindle, are either of you dead? And yeah.
These poor boys. It's very upsetting. It's very... I like the Combaticons so much. So now, of course, yeah, they're all on the ground. Blastoff is now trying to reach for Onslaught, because of course he is.
Right.
Sarah. he's apologizing to Onslaught. He's saying he couldn't save, and then he couldn't save him.
Right.
And he kind of... I mean, we don't have an answer on how bad it is, but yeah, his optics go out, or they at least go dim. And Windblade is trying to get any of them to respond, and none of them are responding. Because, of course, she needs whatever they had.
Right.
And now nobody has it.
Now nobody has it. And Chromia, or Ironhide, is like, hey, Chromia, pretty heroic, right? And Chromia's like, you stupid dumb dick.
Ironhide, you just ruined everything. You ruin her. How could you? And he's like, I just saved your life. She's like, you saved nothing.
and Chromia is saying, like, look, I know what I have to do now. And she goes, and this is my favorite, because she grabs Longtooth's tooth.
She does. She grabs him by the tusk and is like, you look at me. You listen to me now.
Yeah,
and she's
you broadcast this.
Yeah. Because, of course, Circuit is there covering, like, whoa, check out all these Combaticons laying on the ground behind me. So she grabs his tusk. It's like, listen up, everyone who's watching the news. I'm Chromia, and I gotta tell you some stuff. And she lays it all out.
Right. She set a bomb in the Arcolite District, and she killed Scrap Cruncher, Exhaust, and Technimus, which are the names we saw written on her helmet here.
So, yes, there it is. We're like, oh, that's what that was.
And she says she's responsible for the earthquake that happened afterward. And I love that Circa's like, why?
Why are you doing this? And she's, she's trying to reason with everybody. She says she was like the combiner, or the badgeless, that had killed the person in the alley. That, you know, she's like everybody who's very stubborn and doesn't want to give up on the fighting, in that you feel alone and like it's you versus everyone else, and it makes you react or behave and act in the first place in these certain ways.
Right. And she's saying, Ironhide, do your job. And Ironhide arrests her for murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and crimes against Cybertron.
And then we get a really fantastic panel of them. I love this panel of Chromia and Ironhide. Because, yeah, he reads her, or he tells her what he's arresting her for. And then it's this really great panel of them both in profile. And he's kind of, it almost looks like it almost looks like their foreheads are together, but they're leaned in towards each other. And he's just saying, I hope it was worth it. And you're like, aw, you guys, this is a great panel of you two.
And we see Windblade looking back at everything that happened. We see Starscream watching all this on TV.
Right, because of course now Windblade is freed from what Starscream has over her.
And we see the Constructicons again, and we see Windblade standing alone.
Oh, Combaticons. And yes, we leave off.
What did I say?
Constructicons. It's okay.
Same thing.
Basically the same people. A combiner team.
Yeah.
A different
We see
boy
some
band.
Dead combiners.
Yet more. When's it gonna stop? When are we gonna stop hurting combiners?
But
that's where we leave off, with poor little Windblade with her wings down. She looks very, it's a sad little panel. Very pretty.
Truly, all have become one.
At last, everyone.
We did it. I'm proud of Cybertron.
You guys, we all learned something. The last thing, that last kind of panel we see of Blastoff being picked up, we can see in the panel of Chromia being ushered away by Ironhide, it's the Tankors are picking him up.
Oh,
yeah. Just to give everybody another gut punch before Yeah. Well, and so that's Till All Are One. Again, like we said at the very beginning, what a great little set of books. I think it's a really, I don't know, because like some mini series, I like all of them, but some of them are a little more, this one felt very poignant. Like this one felt like really good.
And
like
you said, going somewhere with it.
Yeah. And like it was a nice return to the kind of storytelling we were seeing very early with half of these books.
Before R.I.D. decided to become more of a standard adventure comic, it was very much a political sort of civil rights story.
Yeah.
And it felt like we were getting that back, and it's nice.
It is nice. And I like that it's, when I was talking to you even earlier today, I said something about it being side characters, which it primarily is. Because not only is it that I obviously have a bias towards the Combaticons, but it's just, it's cool that we got to focus on the Combaticons, on any Combiner team, really. Because, like, as much as we've seen, you know, Superion and Devastator and everybody, we haven't gotten a lot out of the teams beyond how they interact with other, like, or how they are related to other people who are more in the spotlight. Yeah.
It's good to see that.
It is. It's very, like, even as early on, and I knew it was a good thing, and see, now we're gonna come back to it. I knew this was gonna be exactly what I would want when I saw Vortex balancing the can on his nose. And that was the point that, like, I immediately thought of. It set off this this train of thought that I love, not only that these books focus on all these different bots, but I like that we got to keep Margaret Scott on as the writer because, of course, she wrote the Windblade miniseries 1 and 2. And we talked about this when we were reading those books, that it was really cool to get a female team to do books that focused on a female lead. But I'm extra excited that we got to keep our female team focused on books that focus on a not female team, because that tends to be, that's where sometimes my complaint comes in with how comic books are handled and how writers are handled, is that people are quick to be like, oh, well, yeah, this is a book about this female character. Let's get a girl to write it. It's like, thank you. But then can a girl please also write more
X-Men girls books? Can write lots of things.
Yeah, go figure. Girls have ideas that don't just involve other girls. So, and I think that that really shows, though, in this. Like, even just the relationship we get between the Combaticons that we literally do not get from any other combining team. A close second would be Victorion, but she's all girls. So anyway, that was just my thought, was that I really appreciate the fact that Margaret was the one writing this, and Sarah was the one, and, you know, Priscilla and Joanna being the primary team on these books. I appreciate
it. Just feels like a solid comic on this storyline that I have been waiting to see more of.
Yeah, absolutely. So yes, I love what everybody brought to the table. More ladies writing all sorts of people, please. I appreciate it. So that was just the thought that I had when so quickly within the books that I was like, oh yeah, this is really good. And I have to imagine at least part of that is because, like, if you guys do follow any of these female creators online, you will see, like, even earlier, you know, just I was joking with Sarah about, you know, she'll be joking about Cyclonus and Tailgate, or, you know what I mean? Sure. I don't know. It's just, goofy little extra things. It's the little characterizations that I think get focused on. And they're nice.
It's nice to have those.
Yeah. They add a lot to a story.
That slice of life stuff is why we show up sometimes.
Yeah.
So I want to thank our McAdams resident, because I know this isn't our ID, but, like, we went to McAdams. You know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's fair.
Thanks, Jay Riley. You may have been that bot who is unidentified hanging out in front of Blur there.
Oh my god, I thought you were going to say the guy who got shot in the eye. I was like, no, don't.
Well, no, I don't know about Drunkatron. I was saying the other bot that we couldn't quite name.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want to be murdered by the Badgeless, I'm sure we can make that happen.
We could probably make that happen. You could officially be Drunkatron, but I think alternately we'll just make sure that guy is officially Jay.
All right.
The one with the stacks.
Yeah,
the,
I like it.
Not Drunkatron.
Congratulations, Jay. You have stacks on your head now.
And Blur is serving you up some drinks.
There you go.
I'm jealous.
Anyone else who would like to hang out at McAdams, go ahead and check out our Patreon, patreon.com/soundwave. And I think that's going to do it for us this week, right? Do we have any other business?
We're going to TFCon.
We are going to TFCon.
I think we continue to forget to mention it in the show.
Yeah, we're going to that thing.
Yeah.
And that is going to be the 21st through the 23rd, correct?
Yeah, correct. Yes. So in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's
so if
exciting.
You're going to TFCon and you hear these voices.
Yeah. Tweet at us. Well, I'm sure we'll get expensive drinks.
Yeah. I'm excited about those drinks.
One more thing that launched today, the Humble Bundle is back.
The Humble Bundle's back. So how kismet that our show is winding down. We're catching up just as a new Humble Bundle is born. It's like a hotspot has reignited.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And now you know what that is.
It's I feel so transformed. Do you see what I did there?
I see what you did there. It seems you don't suck quite as much Transformers anymore.
We'll see. We'll get there. and then just to be sure, everybody, what we have in there is we have, I think, all of More Than Meets the Eye up through 49.
Yes.
All of RID and XRID up through 49. The Windblade books are in there. Combiner Wars is in there. As well as like a bunch of Transformers books that we didn't cover, and like a bunch of G.I. Joe books and an Action Man book.
They're prepping for Revolution.
It's the Revolution pack, everybody.
So if you, I mean, I don't have to tell you guys, if you guys are like me and have a lot of friends that you're like, hey, you would love these books.
And you think that they would super duper love the Micronauts.
Yes.
This is your shot.
Let them know. It really is like a killer deal. So yeah.
Yeah.
Humble
check
bundle.
That out. Everybody.
Check it out.
For like $8, you can get pretty much every comic we've ever read on this show,
which is out of control. That's fantastic.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
So there you go, everybody.
Yeah.
Have a good week. Transforminauts.
Transforminauts, put down that Enigma of Combination this instant.
Transforminauts, get away from that. You're going to hurt yourself.
Transforminauts. There's some things you don't need to know.
Now they're Transformatron. God darn it.
No. He's getting loose. Go get him.
Get back here. Don't you dare get out that door.
He's out.